That's on page 956 in the Schofield Bible, anyway. We don't read out of the book of Habakkuk every day. It's a blessing to be able to come and hold a 7-day revival meeting. A lot of the meetings that we hold are 3 or 4 day meetings. And oh, okay, you want me to put the buttons on here, huh? Okay. Some want to hold a 3-day meeting, a 4-day meeting, and very seldom do we hold a 7-day meeting. We've gotten away from that. You know, we can't become too religious, you know. We can't be too spiritual. And so we trust that the Lord will speak to us throughout this week, every night. We desire that. We need that. We need that. Here in the book of Habakkuk, we like to read two verses, the first two verses of chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Now, read that again. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. We pray tonight that you will hear the Lord speak. And it will cause you to be afraid. That it will cause each one of us to fear. I have heard thy speech and was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. I believe he was saying we're a very sinful people. And I realize that the wrath of God is about to fall upon us. But Lord, remember mercy. Remember mercy. Mix a little bit of mercy with that. Right. Habakkuk said that when he heard the speech, when he heard the preaching of God, he was afraid. When he heard the preaching of God, he was afraid. And I believe that this Bible is the speech of God. And we trust God that He will speak to us tonight. That He'll speak to us throughout the week from the Word of God. When we hear the message of God thundered against sin and read the history of God's judgment against wicked nations and the chastening of the backsliders, I believe it ought to bring about a fear of the Lord. God is thundering out against sin. We don't like that, you know what? We don't like that. We don't like the preacher to get up and preach against sin. We don't like the preacher to get up and say what we're doing is wrong. Or that we need to turn around. Or that we need to repent. and get back to where we used to. That's what revival is all about. But there's very little fear of God in our churches today. The fear of God is a scarcity. There's no heart cry for revival in our churches, such as Habakkuk knew here. Habakkuk realized how wicked God's people were living. He realized how indifferent that they were. He realized how unconcerned the people of his day were. We're living in a very, very, very wicked day. It's the most wicked day that I've ever lived in, myself personally. And you know it's not getting any better. And how indifferent that we can become. And how unconcerned that we can become in the work of the Lord. And how unconcerned we can be in our everyday living. He read the scriptures. He heard the speech of God. And it caused him to fear. It caused him to fear. He knew that if there was no repentance, then judgment must come. Listen, judgment is coming. And I believe that Habakkuk thundered this point out. That judgment is coming. It's coming upon us individually. It's coming upon our homes. We are allowing what's going on in our homes. Don't blame it on anybody else. We as parents are allowing what's going on in our homes. We are allowing our children to live the way that they want to live in our homes. And if there's going to be a change made, we as parents are going to have to make that change. But there is no fear of God before our eyes. But judgment is coming. You can do what you want to with that. Judgment is coming. It's coming upon us individually. It's coming upon our homes. And it's coming upon our churches. Tell you know, you don't have the revivals that we used to have years ago. Do you know that? If you all noticed that, what's the problem? What's the problem? No fear of God. The preacher can get up and preach and he can say, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming upon us. Judgment is coming upon our homes. Judgment is coming upon our children. Judgment is coming upon our churches. And we sit back as if nothing is being said. But we see here that Habakkuk made some requests before the Lord. He said, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of years make known. That was his request. After he viewed the situation, after he saw everything that was going on, he saw all the sin that was so prevalent in his day. He cries out to the Lord and he makes this request. And he says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. That is the only hope that we have today, brothers and sisters. And Home Baptist Church here. That is our only hope. Is that the Lord will be pleased to revive His work here. He was begging the Lord to make Himself known. Boy, what a request. Lord, make Yourself known. Are you willing right now, right where you sit, just say, Lord, You know what I need. Lord, You give me what I need in my life right now. And every person here that's a member of this church that's saved by the grace of God, you know your spiritual condition right now, right where you sit. Nobody has to tell you where you stand spiritually. You know exactly where you stand spiritually. And so he was begging the Lord to make Himself known. What a feeling. When the Lord makes Himself known to you. Y'all ever had that happen to you? Huh? Have you ever had the Lord make Himself known to you? There's things in your life that needs to be rebuked, that needs to be preached against, and your pastor will get up and he'll preach it and it'll touch your heart and it'll show you where you're wrong, it'll show you where your sin is, and you repent of it, you get yourself right with the Lord, and there's not a feeling in the world like it. And that's what he was saying. Lord, make Yourself known to us. We don't want this wrath. We want mercy. Make Yourself known to us. That's the greatest desire that we could have tonight. Is, Lord, make Yourself known to me. Let Your power be evident. Did you beg the Lord this afternoon to make Himself known in this revival meeting? That'll tell us a little bit where we're at spiritually. That'll tell us where we stand as far as a revival goes. Then he requested in wrath, remember mercy. He was saying, Lord, I know that You're angry with the wickedness of sin, but Lord, as You exercise judgment upon sin, I pray that You will exercise some mercy mixed with it. Do y'all understand what he's saying here? He knew that the nation deserved judgment. But he begged for mercy. What do we deserve? What do we deserve? If we're going to see the work of our churches revived, then I believe that we need to understand what revival is. What revival is. When you see the prefix re, that means again, doesn't it? Now the root of vive means life. So when Habakkuk asks for revival, he means again life. That's interesting, isn't it?
again life. And you can't have revival or again life unless you have life to start with. You can't re-establish something that's never been established. So we must be vived. We must have life before we can have revival or be revived. And I believe this could be some of the problems in our churches today, that we're not experiencing revival. He that hath the Son hath what? Hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So now that we've established the meaning of the word revival, again life, you say, Brother Jones, that's exactly what's wrong with me. Again life. Listen. Revival is not just doing the right things. Revival is not just doing the right things. Revival is getting back to a person. It is again life. It is again Christ. Jesus is our life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So that means we got to get, it's again Christ. Not again salvation, but getting back to the person of Jesus Christ. Back to the intimacy that we had with Him when we were first saved by the grace of God. Back to that relationship that we once had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to show you where we're all at tonight. I want everybody to go back to the day that they were saved. Are you all there? Huh? What are you all smiling about? Huh? You all act like you could just get up and just preach right along with me here. You're happy, aren't you? Huh? There's a joy that's flooding your soul right this very moment. There's an intimacy that you have with Jesus Christ right this very moment that you haven't had in a long time. Now, where are you at today? Now you all stop smiling. There's a sadness there. There is not a joy there that was there when you were first saved by the grace of God. We are not having that intimacy that we had with the Lord Jesus Christ when He first saved us by the grace of God. Something's happened. You remember when Jesus Christ was the hub of your life? When everything revolved around Him. But now He's just one of the spokes. I remember that in my life. You know, we go through a lot of motions. We go to church 3 times a week. We read our Bibles. We pray. We visit occasionally. But something's happened. we've lost something. We've lost our joy. Everything to us today is just a routine. Here I am, Brother Titus. Hurry up and preach to us. Got some things we got to do. We've got some places we've got to go. You know, before long, Sunday morning we start talking like that. Sunday night we start talking like that. Wednesday night we start talking like that. We need that intimacy. Once again, just like married couples need to revive and to rekindle their marriage relationship occasionally. Do you remember when you first fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to pray for me that I won't get in a hurry. Because all you're going to do anyway when you go home is turn that monster on and fall asleep. It'll still be on in the morning. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The church at Ephesus had some desirable traits. It was a working church. I believe that was a desirable trait. I believe Home Baptist Church is a working church. It was a separated church. And I believe that that was a desirable trait. It was a church with sound doctrine. And that was a desirable trait. It was a faithful church. And I believe that was a desirable trait. But in spite of their good traits, the Lord had something to correct in their lives. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He was saying that you all are doing the right thing outwardly, but on the inside, you have left, not lost. You have left your first love. Everything was fine outwardly. And we can go to Baptist church after Baptist church after Baptist church, and you'll see the very same thing. Outwardly, everything looks fine. But inwardly, they were lacking something. They had left their first love. And many of us tonight have departed from our first love. We don't quit doing. We just quit loving. We're still doing. But we have left our first love. We can lose God in our busyness. We have churches that are full of busy backsliders. So busy with the Lord's work that we don't have time for the Lord. Then he told them to remember. Remember and repent. You know, we're just trying to bring some things to your mind. Unless we return to our first love, what good is our service? What good is what we're trying to do for the Lord? What good is it? When we know in our heart that we have left our first love. And we are not having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ like we used to have. Repent. And go back to what you used to do when you were first saved by the grace of God. That's what he was saying. Do you remember how you desired to be at church on Wednesday night? On Sunday morning, on Sunday night, man, you didn't even want to work second shift. But now the boss come up to you and say, hey, we'll give you about 50 cents an hour more if you work on Sunday night or Sunday. Man, I could use that right now. I mean, when you were first saved, you hated second shift. You wanted to be in church on Sunday night, on Sunday morning. Man, if I work that second shift, that's going to knock me out of all the revival meetings. Now we look for excuses. Now that'd be a good excuse, you know. You remember that? You remember how that you just love doctrine? I mean, the preacher get up and preach on eternal security of the believer, and you, man, I never saw that before. Man, that is awesome. That is great. Now he gets up and preaches on eternal security of the believer, and you say, oh man, not this again. We know all about that. What in the world is he doing preaching on tithing again? He just preached on that week before last. Separation. Oh no, not another one of these. He preaches on that every week. I just had somebody tell me that here, you know, the other day. But what's happened to us? Now, do you remember when he first preached on that, the first time you heard it? I mean, the Holy Spirit of God took it to your heart and you say, man, this is great. That's what I want to do. Now you look for every excuse in the world to fight it. And all the time you're doing this fighting, you know what's happening? You are losing your children. Did you know that? Simply because you don't want to listen to the preacher. And he's the very best friend that you have in this world. He wants the very best for you. But you know what the problem is? It's the condition that we are really in spiritually. We have left our first love. It isn't that you got something against your pastor or you have something against me or any other preacher that might preach on these things. It's simply the condition of our life spiritually right now. That we have left our first love. And I believe we need to remember some things. Do you remember when you used to come to church to let the sermon scrutinize you instead of for you to scrutinize the sermon? Now you'll sit there and try to find out everything wrong about it. Where before you were praying for your pastor, praying for Brother Titus that, boy, I just pray that, Lord, you just give me what I need. Just give Brother Titus those things that I need in my life. But now we'll sit there and we'll try to find fault with what he's preaching. You remember, you couldn't wait to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I mean, you'd witness. You'd have a desire in your heart to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You know why you did that? Because you were simply in love with Jesus Christ. And you wanted everybody in the world to know about your Savior. You wanted everybody to know about Jesus Christ. Isn't that right, Jim? You know, they're just beaming from ear to ear. Do you all remember that? You know what's happened to us now? We have spiritual lock jaw. It's about didn't get it out. That's exactly what's happened to us. We have left our first love. You remember when you used to live separated lives for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now it seems as though just about anything can go. We've adapted ourselves to the course of this world. We're looking around about us. We're looking at our relatives. And buddy, I tell you what, they're the worst ones. When you try to take a stand for the Lord, the first thing they're going to throw at you is, now you've got to be careful that you don't become too fanatical. Now, you can take that religion just a little bit too far. So I just want you to be careful about that. So we listen to them. And then before long, one of the kids will buy you a Christmas present. And you open it up and guess what it is? It's a brand new pantsuit. You've never put one on before in your life. But to satisfy Sally, you go ahead and do it. And you start wearing them. And before long, it's just a common thing. And that's exactly the way that the devil works. You act like you don't like this. Now, this is where we're at today, brothers and sisters. And I have a burden. I really do. Because judgment is coming. And we've got to be careful how we say something because we're liable to offend somebody. I'm not going to intentionally offend anybody. But I want to tell you the truth tonight. If we're going to have revival, we're going to have to repent. We're going to have to turn back. We're going to have to get back to where we first started. We have gotten so far away. It'd be hard for us to come back, isn't it? I'll tell you what, it's not going to be hard when the Lord works on your heart. You know, we need to stop and realize tonight who we're serving. We've got to stop and realize tonight who we love the most. Tell you what, you won't do one thing for the Lord unless you love Him. And when you will love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your mind, with all of your soul, you're going to do everything that you possibly can to honor Him, to glorify Him, and to please Him. If you have to crawl down that aisle, you'll do it. I'll tell you what, we need this. I need this. This message hit me harder than it is anybody. Because you know why? I know me. And you know you. You don't have to fake your spiritual condition. You don't have to fake it. You leave here on Sunday morning, you leave here Sunday night, and see you Tuesday, it'll show exactly where you're at spiritually. You know, we can put on a pretty good front when we're in church. Every one of us. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? We can come to church, and we'll be fussing and fighting, feuding all the way there. Pull in the church parking lot. We'll put on that smiley face. You get out of the car and say, honey, isn't it a beautiful day? Isn't it a wonderful day to be able to go to church? Walk in and you get shake hands with everybody. Get the good morning, Brother Titus. How you doing today? But deep down in our hearts, we know ourselves. We know where we are with the Lord. And that's all that matters. That matters more than anything in this world. My condition before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that I love so much, the one that saved me when I was so unlovable and was such a sinner. You remember how your prayer life used to be? Now your prayer life is just formal. It's just a form. Do you remember when the family time was more important than family TV? As goes the families, so goes the church. This church is no stronger than its weakest member. As goes the families, so goes the church. Man, I hope not. I hope we have stronger church members than our family. I hope we got stronger families in our church, stronger than us. Covers a big area, doesn't it? You remember when your tithing was such a joy, but now you have a hard time giving it? Do you remember when you used to say, honey, we've got to cut some corners so that we can give more to the church and give more to missions? You used to say, well, I wish I had more to give, and then the Lord gave you more, and you kept it because you fell in love with what you had and lost your love for who you had. Y'all remember that? Some are saying, well, it's just not the same as it used to be. It's just not the same as it used to be. I've talked to people, go talk to them about getting back in church and getting back in serving the Lord, you know, and that's one of the first things they'll say. It's just not the same as it used to be. You're not either. Our churches aren't either. Our homes aren't either. That's our problem. Let me tell you why I didn't. We've left our first love. We've left our first love. We need to get back to our first love. Can you right now, right where you sit, can you just say, Lord, I love you very much. Lord, I've left you. but I'm sorry. You know, I couldn't help. I was thinking tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was just a kid. His mother and dad went somewhere and they left him. And they took off for a whole day's journey. And all of a sudden, they were missing somebody. They were missing Jesus. And they went back. And there he was. Right where they left him. You know, in order for us, if we're going to be right with the Lord, you know what's going to have to happen? We're going to have to go back to where we got off. I believe we all know where we got off. But that's what we're going to have to do. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you. I know how he spoke to me. And I can honestly say tonight, Lord, I love you. I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything in this world. I want to honor him. I want to glorify him with my life more than anything. But you know what? You know what I had to do before I got up here? I had to sit right there. And I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent. Lord, forgive me. And as I said earlier, you know your spiritual condition. I don't have to get up here and preach on a particular thing in order for you to do something. You know, I thought here the other day, I thought, man, I'd love to see a whole church repent. I've never seen that. I'd love to see it. But just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't done you right. I have left you. I haven't done your church right. I have failed in so many ways. But Lord, I want you to know that I'm sorry. And I want to return unto you. I want to get my life right with you. Because my service isn't going to amount to anything unless I'm right with you. And I don't care about anybody in here but me right now. I'm concerned about myself. And Lord, what you want me to do, I don't care about anybody else. Remove pride completely out of the picture. And you come and you just stand before the Lord. Can you say, Lord, I've left you? I've been flirting around with this world. And I'm sorry. And I want to return unto you. I repent. And I want you to accept that. And mean it. Mean it from the bottom of your heart. The Lord has spoken to you. We urge you to come. Brother Titus, be standing here. The Lord has spoken to you. We urge you to come. Let us all stand, please.